nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. A couple of weeks ago, a number of South Sudanese architects launched an institute that with the aim of addressing some crucial issues around infrastructure development and related policies, as well as contributing to academic research and skills development. South Sudanese Institute of Architects representatives are with me in the studio to explain more. And I welcome in the studio Mr. Daniel Benyi Lomole, chairperson of the steering committee of the South Sudanese Institute of Architects. Welcome.
Thank you, Shada.
Yes, and welcome also Mr. Natali Nuer Rehan, a member of the steering committee of the South Sudanese Institute of Architects. Welcome, Natali.
Thank you, Mr. Shadar.
And nice to meet you after many years from graduating the same year from the University of Khartoum, albeit from different colleges. Nice to have you. And of course, much of the infrastructure in the world is more and more connected to architecture, even other technologies, even information technologies and all these. And that means the involvement of architects. How is architecture important in our modern world? And how do you identify yourselves or your roles as architects in a society? Let me start with the chairman of the steering committee, Engineer Daniel.
Thank you, Shada. A point to note, the steering committee has now been dissolved. Mm-hmm. We are now a fully fledged South Sudanese Institute of Architects.
Now I am updating my information on welcome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's just
you are the chairman now.
I was the chairman of the South Sudan Architects Initiative steering committee. Mm-hmm. But I am also a member of the board of the South Sudan Institute of Architects.
Okay, member of board.
Member of the board. Okay, yes, welcome. Yes. But welcome. Thank you for that, because this was I believe during the previous interview is when we had stated this, mm-hmm. but we have moved forward, which is a sign to the public and to the rest of the architects that
now
this
is official, and you are both members of the board of directors.
Natali
is a member.
I'm not a member of the board of directors. I'm only a member of the South Sudanese Institute of Architects.
Good. Ordinary member.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but you are a board member.
I'm
of
a
board
member
board.
Of the board.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Now, thank you very much.
Back to our question: how important are the architects for society?
Well, you have to first of all be very clear on the role of architects in the society. Mm. So, by definition, architects are responsible for design of buildings and other structures, and there are various things that we take into consideration, which includes the aesthetics, the functions of the buildings. We take into consideration the environmental factors. We take into consideration the cultural influences of these structures that we put up. Our purpose in society is, especially towards the built environment, is we run lead on development of buildings and accommodation of human activities in enclosed spaces.
You call this as an institute. What is the idea behind the institute, Natali?
I think that the name of the institute is been derived because the profession of architecture is a scientific professional, and then it is also a business oriented profession. Mm-hmm. So for us to be well versed, or to at least to have like a complementary part of the profession, that's why we go for the institutes of for the name of the institute. So as you can see in other contexts, for instance, in Britain, they call it Royal Institute of British Architects. Mm. And if you go to, for instance, in US, it is also called American Institute of Architects. So this is where the name of the institute is been adopted to name ourselves as an institute of South Sudanese architects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a hierarchy to your institute that you are falling under.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. We are a professional body, but there is a regulatory body which is the Engineering Council of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
This is the governmental body and is mandated to regulate all the engineering practices all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we by the act of the Engineering Council of South Sudan, we as an institute of architects, we fall under the Engineering Council of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm. What will be the linkage between you and the council?
The linkage,
in practice.
Linkage, we as the institute, the professional body, we will be pursuing the interests of our members. And then also the public safety and health.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we are going to vet all our membership, and then we table their credentials in front of the Engineering Council so that they will be given the licensure.
Mm-hmm.
So the Engineering Council is a licensure producing entity, and we are a professional monitoring body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that this is how we work together in a collaboration.
Daniel, the practice in the Sudan, which I'm trying to confirm, was that even when you are still in at the university level, before you graduate with a bachelor, you have a kind of a number that is given to you when you graduate, and then this number is taken by the officials as your number and you continue with it, or you graduate without number and then you come and apply and you are given number after that?
In the context of Engineering Council of South Sudan, they have categories of members.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these categories, I believe they have student membership as well. But the categories mainly for practicing begin with the graduate level.
Mm.
So from the graduate level, as you advance, you have the graduate level, you have people who are technicians who've done diplomas, there's a level for them.
Mm-hmm.
People who have a certain number of years of experience. It's based on the levels of years of experience and the knowledge that an individual has.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their categories that are once you want to apply, you go with your credentials to the Engineering Council.
Hmm.
They review your credentials and then determine which category of practice you qualify for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, then after that, that's when you now get the registration number. And then aside from that, there is also a practicing certificate that is given to people who have, I believe, seven or five years of practice. I'm not sure.
I think it's seven years. If you want to be given like the full,
mm-hmm. full license, full membership.
This is a licensure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this ensures that the quality of practitioner that we're getting in the market is actually qualified and competent enough to perform his duties either as an engineer or an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I'm just graduating and I don't have the 7 years, I have to work under another one.
Correct.
Exactly. Another entity, and that entity would promote me.
Another licensed architect.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
To be specific.
Mm-hmm.
You need to work under a licensed architect for a number of years. And then there is a set of prerequisites that you need to meet,
mm-hmm.
Based on the different skills that you're supposed to be trained at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after that you will table your application to the institute,
mm-hmm.
where it's going to be vetted. After that, you will be given the due licensure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is the current professional landscape in the country and in this regard when it comes to your profession as architects? I mean, the infrastructure is not that much developing, but it's growing very fast. So what is the professional landscape when it comes to your category, Daniel?
We stated before,
mm.
there was a South Sudan Architects Initiative.
Mm.
The reason this initiative was born is because we have had a gap in the market for quite a long time. And a lot of the current practitioners in the market are people who are either untrained, people who are not properly trained, and some people who absolutely have nothing to do with the architecture, engineering, or construction, that are either businessmen or individuals who believe that the industry is lucrative. So the challenge we have with that is that this creates a sort of problem in terms of health and safety of the users of the building, who are the public. And this is what has been happening since the independence of the country. So as architects who are practicing in South Sudan, actually as South Sudanese citizens, we took it upon ourselves to put our resources together, to put our knowledge together, and to put our love for this nation together, to come up with an institute that would assist the engineering council in performing its duties with regard to health and safety of the public, and also with regard to training of professionals, and assisting them in reviewing the credentials and credibility of the professionals.
Mm-hmm. When you speak about this gap and also the loopholes that are there that allow unprofessionals to become engaged, policy-wise, do we have the right policies in place so that you can start from there and start doing something practically? Natalie.
I think this is a very good question, Mr. Shadar. In fact, the gap that my colleague Daniel talking about, the professionals, it is also applicable to the policies and the regulations that are supposed to be in the place to regulate the profession of the architecture.
Mm.
That this thing we are lacking. Even if you go to the level of the permitting, most of the permit now they've been just given without even having a proper permit regime in place. For instance, like the land uses, you can see everybody can do whatever that they want to do with their plot. But in our previous country, for instance, like the old Sudan, when you come and table your design to the permit authority, first of all they have to check the land details, the land uses. Is the design that you are applying for, is it what is being permitted to be using this area or not? The urban development control, like coordinates, for instance, the height of the building,
mm-hmm.
so that you control the urban the urban development issues. Especially, you cannot come and make a high rise building within a limited residential area. This automatically will create issues in the services, will create issues in traffic itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the policy, there's a huge gap in the policy. There's a huge gap in regulation, and there's a lot and there's a lot that is still to be done by the South Sudan to salvage the current malpractices that are taking place in the urban landscape.
What is the opportunity to address this issue, Daniel?
Well, in every area or sector that is undeveloped, there is always great opportunity and great potential. In terms of the opportunities that we have, we are South Sudan is a member state of the East Africa Community, and being a member state, we have seen a lot of good things with our neighbors, and we have also seen a lot of mistakes that our neighbors have made. So we have the opportunity to leapfrog our neighbors, because we are at a point where we basically could say that we don't have a blank canvas, but we could say we have something that is close to a blank canvas.
Mm.
So this allows us to be able to draw from the lessons that our neighbors have learned and develop policies, develop strategies to be able to implement the best practices in South Sudan. So this is part of the opportunities that are available to us.
Mm-hmm. And as you are nationals, and a lot of things are taking place. Take for example, Juba. Juba is sprawling. Juba is growing, and things are getting out of hand in the last 10 years, or even in the last 7 years. Things are getting out of hand. You see a lot of anomalies in the construction. Some buildings are falling. Some buildings are peeling off. The paint is peeling off after 2 years. Water is coming out from underground in some places. Drainage system is a huge problem. How do you see these issues to be addressed? The sooner the better.
As Natalia has mentioned, of course, there's the aspect of the policies. You begin with the land use planning issues, which he has talked about. And then aside from the land use planning and the urban planning issues, you also have to go to the building code issues. Okay? I believe that there was a draft building code that was developed for South Sudan. Unfortunately, this has not been passed. And because of this,
I think it's pending with the Council of Ministers.
Yes.
They looked at it, it was passed, and then they are passing it to the Parliament. I think the parliamentarians should start doing it seriously, but very fast.
This has to be expedited because of the lack of these codes. Then when you take your building for permitting, there is no reference to look against to decide whether your building is complying with the code and looking towards health and safety of the public or not.
Mm.
So this is a challenge that we have, and these are things that need to be pushed. And as the South Sudanese Institute of Architects, we have an obligation. We have a role to play in assisting where we can in trying to push some of these things to move a bit faster than they are.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, Natalie, when you are having knowledge and information, and you cannot use it because this is something you have learned from your universities, yeah, from your lecturers, yeah, from your postgraduate studies? How do you feel?
Yeah, I quite agree. This is really frustrating. We don't want to say it as a question for us to look back, but we want to look. We want to have like an aspiration to look into the future.
Mm.
As been mentioned by my colleague, there is a tremendous opportunity. If the good thing now, even the public became aware of most of the anomalies that you have mentioned, Mr. Shadar, in the construction in industry. That's why we need to take the stake on our shoulder as a national, as a South Sudanese, for us to leapfrog and to try to create a conducive environment that will really be one of our dreams. We know our country is full of incomplete projects, but we are very confident that we try to push and we try to help ourselves and to help also our citizens, because mm-hmm. There's a lot of outcry there, outside there, but it's still as like in many other infrastructure, people they've been left alone, and this is the gap that we are trying to fill, mm-hmm. with the Institute of South Sudan.
But we have to say there is a risk coming ahead, because if something has started in the wrong way, it will continue to be
exactly
in the wrong way for a long time. Listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadal, and this is Nationwide Discussion Hour. With me in the studio are members of the South Sudanese Institute of Architects, and they are Mr. Daniel Binya Lomole, who is member of Board of Directors, and also the ordinary member, Mr. Natali Nuer Rehan. They are both architects, and they are here with me in the studio. We are speaking about the founding of their institute and what they are trying to do in the country. We have spoken about the challenges that are ahead of them. Now, the question is, yes, looking forward, in many countries, and I think you know this, when people are developing, governors developing mega projects, big projects, there is something they call the transfer of technology, transfer of experts, and all this. How do you see it being done in South Sudan? Are we there, or there is something to be done, Daniel?
You know, Shada, as Natalie said, you're asking very critical questions and also very difficult questions. unfortunately, the reality is, I believe in a lot of cases, we still have not developed a confidence in our own people, which is a challenge that's being faced in a lot of industries, particularly the construction industry. And a lot of our own citizens are fighting as hard as possible to try and ensure that this consideration of transfer of technology, because if you're beginning from a point of no knowledge, as I mentioned before, the possibly a blank canvas, you need to identify people with the correct experience, people with correct knowledge, okay? I'm not saying that South Sudanese don't have the correct knowledge, but we can learn from outsiders. But this does not mean that we should allow everything to be taken over by outsiders. As you've mentioned, it's quite important for the transfer of knowledge to occur. So for this to occur, there has to be protection of the local workers. But there also has to be a certain level of awareness of the extent of permission that we allow for outside influence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for example, give a foreign contractor a project to execute, I believe there are laws that protect the percentage of locals that you include in that particular company.
Mm.
This is actually to allow for a transfer in knowledge and transfer in technology, so that at the end of the day, we will have our own people with the knowledge acquired from these people, and they can proceed with the projects 100%.
My two last questions is, one is, how prepared are you as an institute to accommodate other allied professionals such as urban planners, interior designers, landscapers, and so forth, Natalie?
Yeah, again, this is a very interesting question, and it is already within our constitution. Is addressed. These allied professions, for example, the urban designer, the urban planner, and the interior design, even the industrial designer, that are a member of South Sudanese Institute of Architects.
Mm-hmm.
So we are open, because these are supplementary professions that architecture, you cannot work without them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are already a member.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to all the issues surrounding architecture, designs, and all these in the country, what would be your top recommendation for those who are policymakers and those who are implementers and those who are practicing? Let me start with Daniel.
I believe there has to be a collaborative effort among all these people, among the stakeholders and among the practitioners. And this also... it's also very critical for the people in practice to educate the public, because the public will only understand what we do if we tell them what we do. So this is part of the role that the South Sudanese Institute of Architects has to take. This is why we decided to use the name Institute, because this allows for education and for learning, not only for the professionals themselves, but also for advocacy to the public.
Mm-hmm. Natalie?
Yes, as you know, Mr. Shadar, that architecture is a very definitive like profession, and it is one of the definition of architecture is a reflection of the society. So we as a stakeholders in the society that we call South Sudan, we need to collaborate, because our identity will be defined by the monuments that the architect are creating. That's why our appeal to the policymaker, our appeal to the regulatory body, we need to team up together to salvage our built environment, and then also to create an identity that all of us will be proud of it as a South Sudanese.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point. Like, you go to Cairo and you know this is Egyptian.
Exactly.
You go to New York, you know this is American.
Exactly. Correct.
And you go to Paris, you go to Tour de Eiffel and all this,
exactly.
All this place.
Exactly.
You go to Vienna.
Exactly.
You know,
so,
it's their identity.
Are we there? Are we there?
we are going there. We are not there, but we are going there.
So there is hope.
Yeah,
there is hope. You come and see and say, this is Juba. Exactly.
There is always hope. There is always hope.
Yeah. So thanks for this. And let me now tell the listeners that this is your time to engage with my guests in the studio. That is engineers Daniel and engineer Natali. And the number to call is 09-29-686297. The number again is 09-29-686297. The SMS line is 09-121-77141. The SMS line again is 09-121-77141. And I will be picking your calls there. And also I have the Zane numbers, 09-1206-2950. And 09-1206-2079, and I'll be picking your calls.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Ana Joseph Taban Tatisio ana sakin te melekia ana gaya na okwes khalis kan makoma o na sayo tabo be karam de kwes kwes bukun kwes san kerefi konas men tabal ketir inshallah rabana kerege guru ta na sta na de al kubar wal fi bara wal fi juwa hina wa shukran ana Joseph Taban
جنوب السودان فجر جديد بداية جديدة دعونا نحتفل بالسلام عليكم
سلام Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, Nationwide with you, Gabriel Shadar. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, marhaba.
Hello.
Yes, welcome. I'm getting you.
Yeah, I'm...
Hello?
Can I speak Arabic?
ممكن كلام عربي أيوة.
William Koch.
Koch? William Koch? صوتك قاعد يقطع شوية, أنت سامعني؟ William... كرر كلامك تاني, William. From Awada. حاول اتصل بينا تاني. For those who are trying to call, please try again because it seems there is an issue with the line, but we will get there. It is 09-29-686297. That is the line. And the SMS, if you cannot get through, use the SMS line. It is 09-121-77141, and you will get there. If you have a question for the engineers here in the studio or you want to comment on what they have said, you're welcome. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome. Marhaba. Marhaba. Min ma'ana? Mr. Noor.
Santino
Miruing. Marhaba, big Santino. اوه سوري نحن هناخذ زمن طويل عشان نشرح لك. نحن يعني نتكلم عن المعهد اللي تعامل هنا, معهد المعماريين في جنوب السودان, وده اول معهد وهيكون تحت المجلس الهندسي. ونحن قاعدين نتكلم عن القضايا المختلفه المتعلقه بالتصميمات والتنفيذ بتاع التصميمات والتركيز انه الهويه بتاعه العماله الهندسيه في البلد يكون موجود في جنوب السودان, يكون معكوس في جنوب السودان. ويتكلموا انه عندهم فرص عشان مثلا يأهلوا المهندسين المتخصصين في معمار ويدوم أرقام هندسية وبتدريجات مختلفة، وفي شغل كتير محتاجين له خاصة في السياسات المتعلقة بتنفيذ المباني والحاجات المختلفة. نعم، عندك سؤال لهم؟
ما يشكرا جديد شدار لزم أنت أخذت شأن توضيل البرنامج. أطول السؤال اليوم منه ما عندي زمان، ممكن نقول لا كيف البرنامج ده بسأل الشباب، لو شفت الشباب مراد بقول لا ما في شغل في جنوب السودان عشان في يعو في الكتر ريلس ولا مشاكلات كتار دين، كيف بسأل الشباب يعني برنامج جديد.
اوكي شكرا، شكرا لك كثير سانتينو. اوكي كويس، اي هوب ذي ناتالي، ام شور ناتالي ويل ريسبوند، ام نوت شور اباوت ات. اوكي يا ناتالي ويل ريسبوند اون ذات. سو ناخذ متصل ثاني. هلو
هلو،
يس ويلكم.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام.
أنا متشرف شرف عزيز إنه أجليلة أول مرة أتمنى ألاقيك أستاذ قبيا الشدار، شخصية بالنسبة لي في جنوب السودان شخصية هامة، رجل إعلامي على مستوى دولي وليس إقليمي.
شكرا شكرا.
وأنا والله أنا معك عمك حسن مشار، أستاذ حسن مشار.
أستاذ حسن مرحب بك، ألف مرحب بك.
أنا أتمنى إنه ألقى رغم تكون عندي، أتمنى إنه عشان أنا أتناقش معك في حياتي. أنت رجل ما حاجة سهلة بالنسبة لي أنا حسب تقييمي لك.
يا سلام.
وقل إعلامي على مستوى عالي كل اللغتين تجدها بمعنى.
شكرا شكرا يا أستاذ. أنت متصل من وين؟
ربنا يحفظ لنا في جنوب السودان يا أخي.
نعم.
يا سلام.
نعم.
يا سلام، رفعت رأسنا يا ابني.
شكرا. متصل من وين يا أستاذ؟
أنا مسافر متصل من جوبا هنا.
من جوبا، أوكي. جوبا يا تو حتة في جوبا هنا.
أنا هنا في منطقة اسمها تشيك بوينت هنا.
أوه تشيك بوينت، في تشيك بوينت.
نعم. أنا يعني أتمنى من الله إنه يعني غير الفكرة بتاعت إنه المهندسين أو الخبراء التكنولوجيين على أساس إنه يعلموا كل الأجيال الموجودة حاليا، شرف عزيز جدا لأنه إنه يكون عندنا مهندسين قائمين بذاتهم وليس نحتاجين إلى أجانب، حتى لو احتاجين إلى أجانب إلى بعض الأشياء الفنيات الدقيقة جدا جدا. فأتمنى إنه كل الشباب يكون عنده طموح في التعليم وفي الهندسة في الخبرة في المعمار في الكهرباء في كل شيء من جوانب التكنولوجيا المتطور حاليا في القرن 21 يا ابني أستاذ قبيا الجزائر شدار.
شكرا شكرا
شكرا يا ابني، وانا اتمنى انه الاقيك يا اخي في وقت اوسع من كده والله، وان شاء الله اتمنى لي فرصه للقوه والشباب يا رب العالمين.
ان شاء الله ان شاء الله انت بتلقاني في صفحتي في فيسبوك، اي زول بوريك بتلقاني هناك ان شاء الله.
انا معلش عندي عمليه العيون الاثنين مع زوجتي.
يا سلام يا سلام.
انا مش تعبان ما بقدر، لكن اتمنى الاقي باذن الله وربنا
ان شاء الله ان شاء الله ان شاء الله. شكرا لاستاذنا هناك استاذ مشار. وناخذ متصل ثاني. الو
الو،
يس ويلكم.
يا بليز ذس توبيك از تاك مي از مي ذا وان هو كولد فاست.
اوكي ويلكم ويلكم.
يا ذس مامبو جيف.
مامبو
يا مامبو جيف، ام كولينج ان شيكاد.
ويلكم.
You know me, I can just go straight to the point. You see, this is houses which are broken, all the damages. I can easily say this people, because our people, they believe in, you see, always, if you like free things, it is always expensive. They like this, you see, whether big or commercial buildings, they are giving to these foreigners. And for them, what they believe is only to get their money and they go. They doesn't care tomorrow the house will break down or what. We who are in certain, this is what they say, these people they have, they do in an expensive way. We are doing the really things because we are doing for our country. We look for tomorrow, not for today. So like me, I know a lot of things, but it's possible. I wanted these engineers who are already in the studio, if they could, at least I want them to go with my number so that we meet. I tell them what is in my heart because we.
Yeah, you can tell your number. They will write it now.
My number, can I read it?
Yes, they can.
The number is 0925.
0925.
And then 50.
50.
50.
50.
51. Yeah, exactly. Me, I do everything in construction, but the only plumbing and wiring is what I don't do. But all I do, roofing, everything I do, but we are minimized my year, and yet we are just doing the really things.
Good.
So this is for them, they give a less labor. Because they consider in the materials, what they do the quotation beyond what is needed, and then from there they just
they just earn a lot from the materials, and they just don't give a big labor, because mm-hmm. what they want is just to do, if the ratio of the cement is supposed to be 3 into 1 bag, but they can put 5 bags, mm-hmm. five wheelbarrows to 1 bag, you see?
Yes, see. Yeah.
If the house is done for them, they don't care, they just go, and then tomorrow, next tomorrow, you see crack.
Mm-hmm.
So let them take this seriously, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you very much. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Marhaba. Welcome.
Joseph Gabriel Sherar, a legal caller, James Ndiyam in Medina Town, South County.
Welcome, James.
Yeah, Nashkor, do you have the CDO? Be Shokol Betoman, Niguluman, Kedoman, Sid Hele Betoman, or Niguluman Alti Mabruk, they are Shokol. Wanina, Anena Taman Sesan, Jun Suban, Sia Marad Dera Bono, Mafi Nazar Bobona, Amarad Quiz, Nikon Kongra Zadizul Babona, Ubijo Azad Bagdere Waga Wale Dukakin, Buaga. The King Niguluman. Alishunu taban derin uman skill na zereza to derin uman kamani shala uman yao nazar kubar lakini derin zol bitoman kan kanfia haja mekeni zepi jale na fibarga zalbe dejae fi zol dera bana amara bitau anene bagdere nado guloro ital bara amara bejae au fi kanfi fi kongre dera molo ni duglo guloro au koi ital amula zanyman ishanti yeji pishakal fi hajar shokol kira taban ne junubi ne naz bita shokol ma duru zol ita bunade yukanda chan yeji shakal shokol ujunubi au kogai ita da tawodi guru bitak bara ma wodi la ko ala yana da jamba ga yana ashan ta ko mo fi ni wai ya fa ana an ma fi kalam ka tira na bder ni sa joman wana der kan mu man der kaman ni kan rakam bita yana bagder ni wodi man bagder i dubbe pada ni sabir kan fi ya shokol wala fi kongora wala fi amara dera bono we fi barga zalen ana bu dugle man gudal fi shokol be jay
okay alas gulem number bitak sare kida
ah dig gut gun gun gaza akoi 18 30
Tisa Saba, Tisa Arba. Shukran lek katir, shukran.
Saba, okay.
Saba, okay, tamam. Shukran lek katir hinak. Fi sual bardo min SMS, bigol, why not known until today? this body, why not known until today? Hello?
Hello, Misa Al-Khair.
Misa Al-Nur.
Yeah, you're talking to Henry from Yekuron West.
Henry, welcome.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate this discussion. I just have one quick question. We do know that in South Sudan, most of the buildings that we have are quite challenging for people who have disabilities in terms of the way in which the buildings are designed. So if you're talking about government offices or pretty much every building. And South Sudan has already ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which calls for, among other things, accessibility of buildings. I know that they are not a government entity, but as professionals in the field, do they have any plans? Do you guys have any plans to ensure that the buildings that we are constructing are can be accessed by everyone, because it's a right of everyone? Because if you talk about, for example, supermarket, and just like I said, pretty mm-hmm. much every place mm-hmm. In many countries there are laws. We still haven't got our own law, but now that South Sudan has ratified this UN convention, one of the things that we're going to push for is for us to have national legislation as well. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the practical side of it, is where the architects themselves need to be involved, so that whenever people are thinking about designing new buildings, we ensure that those buildings again do not create barriers for mm-hmm. persons with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think I will give the next few questions to both of you to respond and see what the listeners have told you. Yes. Let me start with Natalie.
Okay, thank you again, and thank you for the listener, for the questions that they have raised. أنا حجاوب بالنسبة للناس السالو بالعربي. واحد يتكلم عن كيفية مساعدة الشباب والعمنا حسن مشار يتكلم عن تعليم الأجيال والناس إنها تحاول إنها تقلل من الاعتماد على الوجود الأجنبي في جنوب السودان وكذا. أنا أفتكر دي مداخلات يعني سريعة جدا, وهي بتسري النقاش وبتسري إيفن النشاط بتاع جمعية المهندسين المعماريين الجنوب السودانيين. فأنا أفتكر بالنسبة للوقت وقت مع الجمعية يعني تعمل على 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 ترقية الأداء المهني بالتأكيد إنها هتتعامل مع السوق هتحاول إنها ترفع من القدرات بالذات في المجال بتاع التدريب المهني فده ممكن يصوب قطاع كبير جدا من الشباب على أساس يكون عندهم مهن وقطاع الشباب يكون عندهم مهن والمهن بيكون يعني مجزية وبتحاول إنها بترفع من مستوى المعيشة حقهم هيخلوا طبعا المشاكل حق القتل ريدينج والآن ده كله هي كلها محاولات للبحث عن 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 وسائل عن وسائل عن وسائل الحياة وكذا يعني فأنا أفتكر ده دي جانب مهم جدا الذكر أخونا من روين وورسو ذكر وبرضو يعني عمل مشاركة كذا regarding the other issues about the guy who called from شركات Mr. Mambo about is he really like stated well that free things are always very expensive because you'll be able to make it from time to time for that's why this is one of the current practices that we mentioned when there is no courts there is no any laws and then people that is the market is not well regulated this is where you can see these mediocre and scrupulous like practitioner feeling the whole space, but with the regulation, I think all this will just like vibrate it. Mm-hmm. So I think I will give the chance to my colleagues also to address the other issues. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Natalie, and I believe it was Henry from Nyakurun who brought up the issue of people with disabilities, and he was asking. What us as professionals or as the South Sudanese Institute of Architects can be able to do to put this into consideration. Well, as an institute, ideally, of course, our primary goal is to protect and serve the interests of our members. And another thing that the institute also does is to continuously educate and update our members. So what we will be doing and what we should be doing is identifying areas of challenges that are faced in the society and educating our members on how to mitigate certain challenges. For example, the issue of people with disabilities. This is what we refer to as universal design and accessibility. And as he mentioned, a lot of countries are now adopting this because this is critical for inclusivity of buildings and inclusivity of spaces. Mm. So the best that we can do as an institute is to educate our professionals. But this now comes back to the issue of legislation and the issue of regulations of the professionals and regulations of the construction industry, because now with the correct regulations, then this there will be restrictions on restrictions and guides on how buildings should be constructed. And one of the things that may be included or should be included in the development of building codes is the consideration for people with disabilities and the physically challenged. And this has to be taken very, very seriously, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's come to what is coming ahead for you in the next few months or even your long-term plans as the South Sudan Institute of Architects, Daniel.
So the long-term plan is basically to be able to serve the interests of the professionals and to be able to train the professionals so that whatever impact they have on society, this is our primary goal, so that the impact that they have on society is to the benefit of the entire society. So as we proceed, we will be continuously educating our members. We will be continuously lobbying for proper practices in the construction industry, And we will also be engaging with the governmental institutions to be able to provide advice and possibly to influence them towards certain directions that are beneficial to the people of South Sudan.
Mm. Natale, how are you going to market yourself? Because I can confess that I rarely see the works and designs of South Sudanese architects being showcased. And you cannot blame me, because yes, right. If you don't show it, I can't see it.
Exactly.
Yes. How are you going to address this?
Yeah, I think one of the strategies, Mr. Chedar, is for us as a South Sudanese architect to publicate and to publish our work. So that this will be done through making of these periodical journals to talk about architecture in South Sudan and to talk about the work of the other architect. And as been mentioned by Mr. Daniel, that for us, we are not taking these issues of trust for granted. That's why this issue of training our members to make them marketable, first of all, to the South Sudanese society, to win the trust of the public and to win the trust of the other stakeholders. That's why we need to highly train them so that their work will be of a quality. And this is the work that we are not going only to compete within the sphere of South Sudan, but regionally and internationally as well. So for us, we don't want to adopt this notion that we are still young. We are not young. We have the history in Sudan. We have the history with other things.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be like hitting the ground. I will start like doing a lot of publications so that we can interact with the public and to win the trust of the South Sudanese other stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much, both of you, Daniel. And Natalie, for being with us here, and I wish you all the best in your endeavors and long-term plans. And we might call you here again, and when there are things not going well, make sure that we are calling you to explain what is going on and what is not going on. And of course, this is the end of today's discussion on Radio Mirai's Nationwide with me, Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.
You're listening to Radio Miraya.